Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're continuing in our series in Luke, as Luke mentioned, Pastor Luke, and we're looking at chapter 7. We're looking now at the actions of Jesus. So you remember now from the previous sermons that in chapter 6, we looked at the Jesus sermon. We looked at the words on how to live the Christ way. You know, how do we go about living the kingdom of God? Well, the way we live this is described in chapter 6, and then at the end of the chapter, Jesus says, don't just listen to these words, but do them, put them into action. And so that's actually an important context for then the next two stories that follow in chapter 7, because now we'll see that Jesus himself is not just going to teach these good ways, but he himself is going to do them. And so this is incarnational God. Right, we see God who is not just theory, he's not just spirit, he is also flesh, and so he is putting these things into action. And so we see that in the story of the faith of the centurion, in the powerful work of God. A number of weeks ago when I finished preaching, I encouraged us to pray to the Holy Spirit, who is the powerful one, right, who works out the Christ way through us. And so we ask him to do that. We say to him, Spirit of God, work through me so that you might accomplish your work of your teaching through me. And so we asked him to do things like loving our enemies, right? That's in the sermon. We asked him to do something like do a work of compassion in my life. Do something through me this week that helps me with my judgment, because we're not called to judge. And then the fourth thing was generosity. Do something generous and work through me to do something generous in my life this week. So that is what we expected the Holy Spirit to do. I'd love to hear some stories. Maybe after church, you can come and share. What did the Holy Spirit do through you this week? Because we believe it's true. He does that. And I've heard some great stories already today of what God has been doing. Of course he has. This is our expectation as believers. This real God, who is the powerful one, continues to do that very same thing through us. So we expect him to. But maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I prayed, and to be honest, I didn't hear anything, right? I was asking God to give me a word if it was somebody who's an enemy, and I was listening. I didn't hear anything. Is there something wrong with me? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with you. As a believer, your heart of expecting something from God is exactly where he wants you to be. That's your work of coming before him to say, I'm expecting something from you, God. It may be a continue to ask kind of time for you where the Lord wants you to ask and keep on asking, keep on knocking. It's even part of Matthew's version of the sermon. And so it might be one of persistency. Keep on asking God to do work in you. Another reality is sometimes we clutter ourselves with so much that is outside of God's kingdom, right? We cram ourselves full of that, and so we can't hear him, right? We're expecting to, but we can't hear him because of the clutter. And so the sermon, chapter 6, talks about that too. It talks about how the fruit grows on the proper tree, right? And James picks this up with, you can't have a bitter water coming out of a clean well. You're going to have bitter water coming out of a bitter well. And so sometimes we need to take that reality and say, there's something I need to remove out of this well in order that I can hear from the Spirit of God, and then hearing, do what he has called us to do. Well, that's what is happening here in the story that we're going to look at today. Jesus saying the words of the Christ way in the kingdom of God, and now living them out in such a way that we're meant to be inspired and drawn towards him. And so I hope you're excited and ready to dig into this passage together. Let's look. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 11. 7:11, and this is how the story begins. Soon afterward, so you got to get the context in there. It's meant to pull you back into the sermon from chapter 6 and what just happened with this faith of a centurion. Because if faith like that keeps on going, what can Jesus do? This is amazing, right? So soon afterwards is very important to place this story within what he's already been doing in chapter 6. So soon afterwards, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. And of course they would, and of course they do. The large crowds continue to follow Jesus to this very day, Right? Yeah, this crowd comes around him because they see in his teaching something that is extraordinary. There's new life in this. This is like nothing they've ever heard before. And so the crowds come in. My friends, crowds continue to come around Jesus today. He continues to draw people in towards himself. Many are repelled by the message of Jesus. Many are resistant to it and go away very sad. Or whatever it is, but there are many who are drawn in and continue to be drawn in today because they see something extraordinary about him. And this is important for the passage, and what's happening here is that Jesus has a way of drawing people in towards his message and his action of new life. His message and action of kingdom of God reality is something that draws people in. It's important to understand for what's going to happen here. Because the next verse actually brings about something very sobering as we read it and as we see it. It brings about a real spotlight on the human condition. And the human condition is one of brokenness. And in this particular case, it's one that you have to look at and say, that is miserable. That is just wrong. Here's what happens. They come across a funeral procession, verse 12. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. So you see these two crowds, don't you? The one crowd following Jesus who talks about life, and they see life in his words. Then you've got them coming towards this village where another crowd's coming out. This crowd, though, is following around a widow who's lost her only son. And that is just a horrible spotlight on the human condition, which is one of brokenness. Sin has brought about death. And sometimes death is something that we look at and we see and we think, what is wrong with this world? It is really messed up. That is just not right. Yeah. And so a widow losing her only child, her only son in this case, so in that first century, meaning the loss of her, or even her hope of her life, the hope is gone out. Well, it's a time of remembrance for us as Canadians and around the world. We remember the armistice of World War I, the end of that war, which also brought people to that same place, I think, that same place of saying, there's something seriously wrong with this world. It is extremely broken, right? And so at the end of World War I, you have as many as 11 million young men, right? Young men sent off to the war. It's always the young men sent off to the war, and they died. They didn't come home. 11 million. Sometimes in one battle, you know, the 60,000 soldiers would die. Well, that kind of, you know, scale of war had never been experienced before like that. And it was one that, you know, even when you look at the full casualties and the death of civilians, you know, maybe 40 million people in suddenly Europe in the four-year span of time, 40 million people. Well, not unlike what's happening here with a widow's only son, I think the world in 1918 was at a place of saying, this is really wrong. This is very broken. The human condition is actually not leading us towards something better all the time. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. We're getting able to be on a scale of death that is really just wrong. And so I think the spotlight on just how real the brokenness of the world is important for us. We do it on Remembrance Day. We don't forget because of how wrong it is, right? We don't want to forget that. But we also know that that another war followed, right? Another war, an incredible scale of death followed again because the world is, in fact, a broken place, and crowds have gathered around the reality of what is so lost. Yeah. It leads many people to ask, why? What's going on? What's wrong? I think we're in that kind of time now. It's not just a Remembrance Day kind of time, but I think we're in that kind of time in our world right now where people are understanding the brokenness. Yes, we have lots of things to distract us from the brokenness, but it's also pretty evident for people, right, at the same time. And so if we're in that kind of time, this passage is really important to us then. We need this. Because even though verse 12 spotlights the human condition and it's miserable, the whole thing turns at verse 13 around a hinge. And the hinge is the word hope. And it actually is the one who is bringing hope. It's Jesus. It all hinges around the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, is the world broken? Yes. Is it actually really broken and miserable? Yes. We can't forget that. Now, there's the good news reality of what Jesus Christ has said and is now doing. Look at verse 13. Here's how it hinges. The large crowd has followed around this widow's only son, taking him out to bury him. And then verse 13. When the Lord saw her, I love that phrase. It is so important for the hinge of hope. When God himself saw her. See, the reality of how hope comes to the world begins with God's movement of seeing us. It always begins with his action of care and compassion, in this case, for his creation. So he sees us. That's something to believe and to receive today and to share with this world. God is looking out and seeing us in our condition and is not happy with it. He doesn't want to leave it like that. The scale of this kind of death or this kind of hopeless loss is not something that he turns a blind eye to. He, in fact, is seeing it. He's looking into it. So this is the kind of God that we have. And now he reveals himself as not just seeing it, but overflowing now. Look at verse 13 again. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. That's what we believe about Jesus Christ. What kind of God do we have in a broken world that's messed up like this? Well, your answer could be, as I think it was at the end of 1918, a lot of people saying, I don't want to have anything to do with God anymore. Yeah, maybe they didn't yet understand the reality of who God actually is. And so they said, this world is really messed up. I don't want to believe in God anymore. God does not want us to be left into that place because he knows the broken human condition. Instead, what he wants us to see is his heart overflowing with compassion. That's what we need to show this world about the reality of who God actually is. He's not one who does not care about this. He's overflowing with a heart of compassion. Imagine that, the great God himself, a heart overflowing with compassion. I think that's sometimes something that we need to enter into believing. I mean, entering into it, because sometimes that's hard for us to believe about God. How can he have a heart overflowing with compassion when this world is broken like it is? And so we need these passages to draw us into the reality of who he is so we can believe it. Yeah? So enter into that, my friends, today. Be encouraged and drawn into this passage that leads us into the heart of what God really is, one of compassion. So here's his action. He speaks, "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over, verse 14, he walked over to the coffin and touched it. There's incarnational God himself, not just saying, but doing. And so God has come to touch with his heart of compassion. He's come to touch humanity and to bring hope with an encounter. So the touch, I think another word for us to frame around this is the word encounter. These people are now going to encounter the living God. And certainly this boy is, right? He's going to encounter the living God. Oh, my friends, we need to encounter God, hear his word, believe it, know it, believe it, and encounter his powerful work in our lives. That is part of the journey, and it's so important with the reality of how the human condition is broken that leads us to death. We need that encounter that leads us to life. And so the miracle is that great reality being played out in that moment with resurrection. So he says, young man, he said, I tell you, this is verse 14 again, touches the coffin and the bearers stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. You see, he's alive. He's well. He's talking. He's living. What was so dead is now living and is so alive. That's the hope, then, that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we're called to understand this about him and to believe this. And so Jesus gives him back to his mother. That's the end of verse 15. Well, this might seem very similar to a miracle you've read in the Old Testament. It might seem a lot like what Elijah did with in 1 Kings chapter 17. You're remembering. You're like, yes, John, I remember 1 Kings 17. 17, right? I'd be like, yes, yes, good, very good, excellent. And the truth is that that was very silly. I'm sorry. The truth is there in 1 Kings 17, where Elijah does something that's so similar that Jesus must be trying to do something here, right? When he sees this as an opportunity to connect with what Elijah was doing. But here's the difference. Elijah goes to a town, like we saw at the start of 7-11. He goes to a town. He sees a widow at the gate of the town, which is happening here in 7-11. And then he goes, and the widow's son dies, and he prays for the widow's son, who comes back to life. This is in the Old Testament, comes back to life. And 1 Kings 17, he literally gives the boy that's alive back to his mother, a widow, back to the mother. And so it's alive. But we know from the Old Testament that this was done in a kingdom of Israel that kept failing, a kingdom that was meant to be and called to be the kingdom of God, but kept failing, kept coming short of. And so the power of the prophet Elijah was the power of God, but it was looking forward to the reality of the prophet who would come, the Messiah, who would come and bring the power of God to a kingdom that would never fail. And so Jesus is bringing in the new kingdom here with these miracles. With resurrection of this boy, he is defeating darkness and death. Yeah, he's defeating the human condition in this moment. He's defeating Satan. Yeah? And so this is the kingdom of God at work, a kingdom of life. And this is a kingdom that's received through faith. And the faith that is given is then blessed with resurrection power as the boy sits up. Resurrection power. Now, here's where it starts. It starts in the resurrection of our soul, of our spirit. It starts in the resurrection of our spirit, which is, in fact, affected by that human condition, affected to the point where our soul is going to die, and that's just wrong. The eternal souls of people dying. This is God who made us and has great heart of compassion and sees us. And that soul is dying. He does not want that. And so he reaches out to touch, and the soul is born again. That's the term that he used. He said, you're going to be born again. And so that's where it begins. It begins with the rebirth of our souls. And this is what Christians believe. You know this story, that this isn't too far off of what God's kingdom is going to come to be, right? The resurrection of this body, this boy who died, is a looking forward to his second coming. It's a looking forward to the day when our broken bodies are going to actually be resurrected in the new kingdom when it's fully realized. So it is one now, the broken bodies will be restored in the work of God in his new kingdom. It is one, and it is going to be realized one day when Jesus comes again. And so that's why, as believers, we keep talking about that, and we keep looking forward to that. We know that this is a looking forward to. So the power of Elijah was a looking forward to Jesus. Jesus accomplishing this through the power of God, and there's still a looking forward to of that day when there will be a resurrection even of our broken bodies. I hope you're able to track with me on that as I go through that, because it's very important for us as we understand this passage and as what we believe as Christians. And I had a chance to kind of talk about this a little bit with a young adult when we were in Africa together. We went to a number of us went to a hospital where people were dying of AIDS, and it was very sad. And we were going through and just being with people in their last hours, just praying with them and being compassionate towards them. Afterwards, we did a lot of debriefing together and a lot of talking together. Very important. One of the young guys was talking to me, sort of took me aside, and he said, "You know, I really want to see. Feel very hopeless. I want to see the power of God in my life. And it would really help me believe. It would really help me in my faith." And I said, "Well, what would be the most amazing, powerful thing you could imagine then that would, I mean, it would really, the best miracle, so that it would really give you that hope?" And he said, "Well, if I was praying for one of those people who are sick today, and if they got better right there," I said, "Yeah, that would be good. That would be amazing for sure. And it would give you all that hope." I said, "But is that the best miracle? Like, is that the greatest miracle? Let's go for it here, buddy. I'm like, come on, the great. And he said, okay, no, I suppose there'd be one even greater if the person was already dead, if they'd already died. And I went and said, rise. And the person came back to life. He said, then I would have so much hope. And it would really send me on my way. I'm like, yeah, that would be the greatest. I said, it would be a lot like Lazarus, or even before Lazarus, there's the young boy. It would be a lot like that when the boy comes back to life and everybody was filled with hope around them. And he said, yeah, it'd be like that. I said, but the story, I'm sure, goes on. I said, we don't know, but the boy does, in fact, die again, right? And so does Lazarus. They die again at some point. And he thought about that, and I said, what about a miracle that's even greater than the person's body coming back to life? What if their eternal soul was also affected by the human condition, and their soul was actually affected by that in a way that it led to death, and it was leading to death? And in fact, what if there was a miracle where that soul was touched by God himself, and so the soul was no longer dead, but was resurrected back to life again, like a new birth? And was a new creation that could not die again, but was in fact now part of this new kingdom of God which has been ushered in, that is real now. Like, what about that miracle? And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's the greatest miracle, isn't it? Especially when we take into the full scope of what God's plan is for all of this. The full scope being that the kingdom of God does not just stop with the spirit being resurrected, but very much intends for us, body, soul, and mind, to be resurrected in glory. Well, I'll be honest with you. The young man, he said, yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I said to him, so are you a Christian? He said, yes. Well, I said, then you've actually witnessed it. You said you wanted to witness a great miracle. And we kind of walked through it here. And the greatest miracle would be that eternal soul coming back to life, because it was destined for death. So you have witnessed the greatest miracle. He said, yeah, I have. And I said, not only that, but because you're a Christian, you've witnessed it. It actually happened to you. You personally had it happen to you, the greatest miracle. He said, yeah, that is amazing. And then he said, but I sure would like to have seen it. Sure would like to have seen it. But, you know, I don't think he's unlike us. Let's face it, we do live in this time where this is hard. The brokenness of our bodies is hard. And we want to see this. But we can never lose the focus on what's hinging here. The focus that in Jesus Christ, he has given new birth into a new kingdom that will never fail and that will never die. And that you are born again by believing in him. Born of spirit, and by believing in him, your new life in Christ is promised to be delivered unto him one day with your body in such a way that you'll be part of this place that we call heaven, right? This place where there is no more brokenness, where there is no more sin, there is no more death, where he has completed his victory that he's won. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? Is that something that you're looking forward to? I know it's hard. I know it's hard, like that young man, I know it's hard. You say, John, I know that's true. I sure would like to see. And I think that's part of who we are and what we're about. And so as we sort of conclude then the passage, let's conclude by saying, what do we do then with this reality of what God has accomplished in his kingdom? How do we go about living with this truth of hope now in our lives? Well, look at how the passage finishes. I think it'll help us. So the dead boy sits up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now remember, there's two crowds, a crowd of life and this crowd surrounding around death. Great fear swept the crowd, everyone, and they praised God. So they've got this moment now of being drawn in to the kingdom of God, being drawn into a kingdom of life, and now encountering him, they're saved, right? Encountering him, they're drawn into his kingdom. And now the action now transfers over to them. you can see that God's action from believing transfers over to them. And here's what they say: a mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today. So they praised God saying that. I think that's an important thing to understand, is the reality of him, of this crowd now praising God. There's an action that comes from this. And they, and it spreads throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. See how it spreads from there, from the crowd that's believing and receiving and giving, having new birth in him, and looking forward to the day when this is completed in glory, and now taking that truth and spreading it to the world that needs the hope of God. I hope I've been able to land this passage okay here. I hope I wasn't too confusing in the landing of that passage. I'm looking out and seeing if I'm okay there, because my bronchitis has got my mind a little bit in a loop right now, to be honest. But I hope that you haven't missed how this lands. It's so very, very important. In fact, I think it lands in a place of application for us that's not too dissimilar to how chapter 6 ended. It ended with, don't just listen, do it. And I think in this passage, it's the same thing, really, isn't it? We see Jesus doing it. What is he doing? He's doing this miracle that describes his resurrection life. And then we're called to not just see that, but then to go out and to spread the word to the world around us, this countryside around us. So let's do that in prayer. That's how we ended at chapter 6. We ended with a prayer of asking the Spirit of God to work through us. You remember how I started my sermon? I said, keep asking, and let's remove anything that might be in the way of hearing God. And so we're doing that same thing now. We're coming now with this truth of who God is and what he does, and we have this opportunity now to share this with the world. Okay, let's pray together. Let's come before the Lord, and let's just open our hearts before him now and say, Lord, we want to keep asking. Even now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would do a work of power through us so that people don't just hear about this, but they encounter you. Yeah. God, I pray that you would give us opportunities this week to be able to share the hope of the world, in a world that is very broken. I pray that you would give us an opportunity to share hope. And Lord, I pray that as we share that message of hope, that you would then, that you would come and meet with people. Just as you met with the people that day in that crowd that was destined towards hopelessness. And then when you met them, it all changed. And I just pray, God, that messages of hope that go out from us this week would be followed with and would be included with your powerful encounter in people's lives. I'm just thinking maybe you have an opportunity this week to, you know, to be able to talk about the hope of Jesus, just talk about it with somebody, and then pray while you're talking to somebody, pray that they might encounter him in their heart, you know, that real sense of, you know, God's presence with them. We believe that. Or maybe if you have a chance to give somebody a scripture or maybe give them a Bible or something about the Word of God, giving them the Word of God so that they can see the message of hope and then encounter him in it, like so many people are doing around the world right now. There's so many who are encountering Jesus through the scriptures. Maybe you'll have a chance to do that this week. Or maybe it's nothing like that. It might be something so very, very different. It could even be a miracle. Yeah, it could even be a miracle. Maybe God wants to work through you this week to say a message of hope, and then something miraculous, something very, very much counter to what's wrong with the human, or what is going on, rather, with the human condition, something very counter to that, like healing. That's very, very opposite of the world, which is broken and sick. Maybe it could be healing. Yeah, would you be willing to be someone that God uses in a powerful way like that so that someone could encounter what's true, the hope of God? Maybe they could be born again and experience one day that full glorification that he promises. Well, God, we open ourselves up to you now in prayer and ask, Lord, in all humility, and sometimes with fear, and sometimes, Lord, with not full understanding, but we know enough. And so we come before you and we pray that you would do a work of power in and through us to bring hope to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.